You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is good, everybody? Welcome one and all to TGI Football on the SB Nation NFL show, sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. As noted, this is the SB Nation NFL show. You can subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast, Apple devices, Spotify, etc. We would love to know what speed you listen to our beautiful baritone voices on, by the way. At Brandon Gowton, at Steven Serta, at RJO Cho. I just realized that the three of us are just nice and simplistic with our Twitter handles. You can also watch us on the SB Nation NFL YouTube channel. There, you don't have an option to change the speed. You just got to watch it nice and slow.
It's not true.
Is it? Really? I don't know that.
Yeah, YouTube has speed options.
Is that true, Steven?
I have no idea.
100% it does.
Are y'all's Twitter handles your names? I assumed that off of memory.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, okay. I mean, first and last name for me, no middle, doesn't fit. Too long, one character too long on Twitter. If I did Brandon Lee Gowton,
interesting. I don't think that you can fast forward or accelerate or change the pace of YouTube videos, BLG.
Yeah, you can. You can do this with like most things. You can do this on, I'm sure, like Netflix.
Can you do it with Netflix? No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
Can you do it with HBO Max? No.
Yes, you can. I don't know HBO specifically. I don't use that, but like with Netflix or Disney Plus, one of those two, if not both, have that option.
That's
I know on YouTube, like on the mobile app, you can for sure like fast forward.
I'm not talking about fast forwarding, to be clear.
Yeah, playback speed.
I don't know about that. I'm not a 1.5.
100%. Hey, I should talk really fast, so then it'd be really annoying for the people who are listening on 1.5 yeah. to hear this.
1.5 is tough to handle. I've talked about it before. I wish that I could distinguish, like I wish I could up, you know, like decimal points. You could set your alarm on your phone.
Depending on what podcast app you use. There's like ones
okay,
that do it
mister,
at like
1.1. I have an answer 1. For everything. How about you just let everybody chill? I mean, just, you know, let's just all be cool.
Welcome to 2024.
I missed last week, but you both will be happy to know that I correctly predicted the winner of the Super Bowl. Kansas City Chiefs, Steven, congratulations to the hometown team. What has the last week been like? Obviously, there was the shooting throughout the Super Bowl parade that casted a negative shadow over what was originally a purely happy and joyous moment for Kansas City and for Chiefs fans.
Yeah, obviously, that's not how anybody was hoping a day of celebration would end in Kansas City. It's been a tough couple of days, but you know, everybody's doing their best to try to band together as a community here in Kansas City and try to like find a sense of normalcy, which has been kind of tough the last couple of days for sure. We're less than a week removed from the Super Bowl, and it already feels like it was like weeks ago because of the events of this week. It's a sorry state we're living in right now in this country, and it sucks that everybody's got to live through this and live this way. But you know, the Chiefs did win a Super Bowl. I'm excited to talk about it. I've only gotten to talk about it a couple of times this week because of the events. So it's been rough.
Well, the Arrowhead Pride team has done a great job of covering a really difficult situation, Steven. So kudos to you and yours. The SBNation.com team, if anybody is looking for any information on what has happened and any information to follow, I know you all and the .com team will take care of that. It's difficult, BLG, to just kind of go back to the football of it all, but we are now in the off season for everybody with the Super Bowl finally over. It does feel like it took place a very long time ago. I think some of that might just be the attrition of who the Chiefs are and, you know, oh, the Chiefs won again. What a surprise. What a shock. They're the best. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest.
Also just the build up to the Super Bowl. I feel like it takes forever to get here. every year. Steven, I think, can relate to that. We were saying that last week on the show, or before the show, or after the show at some point. By the way, Steven won our over-under competition. Shout out to him for that. The listeners slash the voters, whoever participated in the polls on the SBNation.com article, I did finish in second, and I finished in last. Although, I think it was a good battle, because some of those over-unders like came down like right to the line. So that's kind of good. We were setting the lines competitively, so that was a lot of fun. But yeah, I guess one of the most, I don't know, telling, or it just seemed different to me, especially maybe I wasn't as tuned into it last year when the Chiefs beat the Eagles, but like right after, you know, the Chiefs win and Mahomes is talking, it's just like, you know, the post game interview on the field, he's talking about number three already. Like, it wasn't even like, hey, we're happy we won this one. It's like, we're doing it. And I know a lot of, you know, people who say win the Super Bowl say that, like, oh, we're going to do it next year. But I don't know. It seemed like different to me. It seemed like an entirely different focus and energy focused on doing it yet again.
Yeah, Steven, I thought the game went to overtime, and that kind of, I think, created part of the like rushedness of the original or the initial like post game stuff. But when Mahomes was talking to Tracy Wolfson, like right away, I mean, it just felt like he was like, oh yeah, we're dynasty, but we have more to go. Like, it felt so simple and matter of fact and obvious. And like, it's been this way the whole time, when this is a remarkable achievement.
I think he really cares a lot about being recognized as like, I want to be the greatest football player ever, not just
good for him,
greatest quarterback. Like, I think that legitimately means a lot to him. And I do get frustrated with him sometimes, because he's so humble about it publicly. And but we hear like these stories about him, like behind the scenes, and what like a competitive psychopath he is, but he won't ever show that publicly whatsoever. And he's insane. And it's crazy that the takeaway from this is like, you don't have to invest in wide receivers now, because the Chiefs just won a Super Bowl like that. It's like, no, like, you don't understand. Like, this has been years in the making. And the only reason they won is, one, their defense that they have heavily invested in through the draft and hit on multiple picks, like guys that are significant contributors. They also have a future Hall of Famer in Chris Jones, who is one of the greatest playoff performers that we have seen on the defensive side of the ball over this 5-year run. And they're just, and yeah, they don't have a lot of pass catchers, but they still have Travis Kelce. Like, you should still invest in wide receivers. You should still try to stack your rosters, because nobody has Patrick Mahomes. Nobody has a guy that can get the ball in overtime of a Super Bowl after the 49ers kick a field goal to take the lead. And you're like, it's over. Like, you don't have a chance of stopping that guy and keeping that guy from scoring and going and winning this game. Because I feel like that was kind of the consensus feeling in that game. Like, when Mahomes gets the ball with an opportunity to go win the Super Bowl, everybody was like, he's going to do it. And I think Brady is the only other guy that you could have definitively said that about in that circumstance. And Mahomes is already in that realm. It's just, it's insane.
Brandon, I know that you have not enjoyed the world coming for the 49ers this week and kind of taking their shots at Kyle Shanahan and Debo and whoever the case may be. I feel like we all said like the obvious things on Monday and about, you know, taking the ball first in overtime. But in the time since then, at least in the time since I've done a show on the NFL show feed, the mic'd up things came out, and it just like got worse. I feel like the fact that Kyle Juszczyk is literally getting his helmet on, he's like, oh, I didn't know this. Like, that's crazy. And that the Chiefs players were like, I wouldn't say laughing at them, but like that they were like, well, this went the exact way we wanted. Like, it's, if possible, it amplified how bad this whole situation looks for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I'll go back to saying that I don't really think it was the decision itself as much. Like, you know, there's a lot of discussion about how like analytical data and whatnot makes it a pretty kind of like a 50-50 in terms of what's the right thing to do. Again, I personally do agree with the Chiefs. I like getting it. I'd rather get it second, but I think there is, it's not as just so obvious as some people have been making it out to be. But the problem is, you know, again, the fourth down strategy, if you're going to kick the field goal there, it's so hard for me to believe. I was talking to Stats about this, our good friend Stats, with him, and it's just like, what are you going to regret more? Are you going to regret like there's just like a fundamental, and this goes into the whole fourth down and the mentality of it. And like, you're going to regret believing in yourself and your players. That's what you're going to regret by going for it there. Like, that's really what you're going to worry about, as opposed to, You think you're actually going to regret it less that you gave it to Mahomes with a chance to win the game? Like, which one of those things are you going to regret more? So, yeah, I think that's the bigger issue. The fact that, again, and just two, for him to go for it earlier in the game, shockingly, in a fourth down situation, well, then how do you not do it again? Like, why would you do it there but not later? It just doesn't make any sense.
Steven, on the Chiefs side of things, and we have 10 questions, by the way, related to the entire offseason that we're about to get to, but it always felt like some of the crowning of Mahomes and the Chiefs was, I wouldn't say premature, but the just, you know, the hardware, whatever you want to call it, wasn't totally there to justify all of the overwhelming accolades. I mean, some of it was, but it's finally there. Like, I mean, it really is Kansas City and then a massive gap before the conversation even begins across the rest of the league.
Yeah, this was their down season, and I've talked to you guys about it a ton. Like, there was points this season offensively where they were a train wreck, like could not do anything, could not accomplish anything, couldn't run a functional offense whatsoever. Like, couldn't run just regular Andy Reid type of plays because guys didn't know where they were supposed to go. They didn't know what the motion was. Like, they didn't know what they were doing. But their defense all season long, I guess because of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and all of the notoriety and headlines that side of the ball created, this defense was overlooked all season. And I kept being like, this defense is one of the absolute best defenses in the NFL. And their defense was just as important in this playoff run as Patrick Mahomes and everything that Mahomes accomplished and all of the clutch moments that he had throughout this playoff run. Like, they don't get there with any of it. They don't hang around in that Super Bowl without the defense shutting down Christian McCaffrey and totally putting the clamps on George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel. Like, this defense was special this season. And you know, next year there's going to be all this made about Chiefs have to invest in wide receiver and they've got some other question marks and they got to figure out the offense. And I'm confident that they'll address that in some way, whether it's through the draft or a veteran or whatever. They'll make it work. And Travis Kelce is going to come back and he'll still be good. But like, we can definitively say at this point too, that the Chiefs, we have a large sample size of this throughout the Patrick Mahomes era now, where 2018 was the first season where teams were trying to figure him out and they didn't really. And then we've seen this slow progression of figuring him out. And then he has to adjust his game. And then they did all of that this season where they were going through the regular season, just figuring things out, just trying to say, we just got to make sure that we can do it in the playoffs. And I don't think they had anything figured out until week 17 against the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, I legitimately do not believe that they had their offense figured out until week 17 of the regular season. And they were like, okay, we've got it now. This is the formula. We can win with this. We can play elite level defense and we can score just enough points to win like this. And they finally did it. Now, if the offense gets better and the defense takes a step back, well, you still have Patrick Mahomes. And that's been a recipe for success every other season besides this one. And now they've proven that they can adapt in any way that they have to. As long as they can get to the playoffs and go on a run, they can beat anybody in a one game sample size. And I don't know how you beat it if you're the rest of the NFL. I don't know how you feel good about that Super Bowl if you're anybody other than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Must be nice, Steven.
I have a question. Nice. It's not one of our offseason questions, but it's like,
wow.
Why? And I think Dan Quinn did a good job in Dallas, to be fair, but why is Dan Quinn getting a second head coaching job and like Spags isn't? Like,
this
why would you want Dan Quinn over Spags?
Thing, like, we talk about Kyle Shanahan and his decision-making, which that's another thing. For weeks now throughout the playoff run, we were like, Kyle Shanahan is going to make a bad decision in this game. That is guaranteed. And it popped up in every single one of their playoff matchups. The Chiefs just get to run it back with this coaching staff. And they might add Eric Bieniemy back in a role because now he's just a free agent again. Like, the fact that I don't know if it's just everybody thinks that Andy Reid is just the mastermind behind all of this, but like, Andy Reid doesn't call defensive plays. Steve Spagnuolo is one of the best defensive-minded coaches in the NFL history, and they're just letting the Chiefs run it back. Joe Colan, their defensive line coach, who's a tremendous coach, was getting DC offers, and he said, no, I want to stay in Kansas City because of what they got going on over there. Dave Merritt one of the best DB coaches in the NFL's gotten DC offers and has chosen to stay in Kansas City. I don't understand how the NFL is allowing this to happen.
Well, also Andy Reid is like a successful coaching tree. It's not like the Belichick thing where it's like, oh, all these assistants suck. It's like, no, this has been borne out that like Andy has had successful assistants go on to be head coaches elsewhere. So yeah, that's not fair. It's very unfair.
I think it's a combination of, to your point, Stephen, the assumption that it's just Andy and Mahomes and everybody else is along for the ride, and people get idle hands and like waiting. I mean, it's hard for teams to wait. You know, the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl every year. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to wait that extra, you know, whatever it is, 5 weeks to, you know, interview and think, and, you know, that's a month. I mean,
that's
month
so short-sighted though. It's just
it is, but we're all humans, and that's what's interesting.
Yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think it's dumb.
To kind of close, you know, or tie a bow on it all, the defense really has been the story. I thought all as December wore on, anytime like people would talk about the Chiefs defense, I thought of a tweet from, I think he works at 610, Stephen, Alex Gold. Is that correct? Yes. I saw a tweet of his that was like, it was the night that the Chiefs played the Eagles, and he was like, tonight is the night that everybody learns the Chiefs have a Super Bowl defense. And then they lost that game and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I remember thinking like, maybe that was like a correct point. Like weeks wore on and on and on and on, it's unfair. It's really, really, really frustrating. And it's so unfair because you would think that like maybe Chris Jones would leave and he'd get a bag or whatever and like, you know, whatever. But now it's just like, that's like, well, I have to get a fourth. You know, I can't be the one guy who misses out on this whole, right, you know, kind of thing. Because right now, speaking of four, there's a core four that has been a part of it all. It's him, Mahomes, Kelce, and Reed. And if you can be a part of that, like, it pays. Like, look at the life Julian Edelman lives right now. Not that he's not, you know, a good podcast or whatever, but like, if you're a part of a dynasty, like, you get to live forever in a lot of ways. So it sucks, Stephen. It really sucks.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We have 10 questions, and we've already talked for 16 minutes, so somebody's got to be a little quick. I'll go first, if that's okay with you all, since BLG volunteered to go last. That work?
I mean, we'll rotate, right? But yeah, I want to go my final question. I want to have the final question.
Yes, we all understand what you want. My first question, what if, this is mine, are all kind of like what if things. What if the Chicago Bears don't trade Justin Fields and draft Caleb Williams? Because I feel like we're only considering like what, you know, one of them being on the roster when the classic kind of thing for the lame duck head coach situation, which bums me out because I like Matt Eberflus a lot, would be to like bring in to draft Caleb Williams and then be like, oh, well, he's going to sit and learn behind Justin Fields. And then we have this super awkward, you know, situation throughout all of training camp. So, Steven, I put it to you. What if?
I actually don't think that is a bad idea, but it's not going to happen because they have a lame duck head coach, because they decided to run it back with Matt Eberflus instead of just bringing in a new coaching staff, because a new coaching staff is afforded the chance of like, okay, this is a 2 to 3 year thing. And so we could do it like that. see what we have in Justin Fields. And if he goes out and he performs really well when we actually are finally building something in Chicago. And I don't think that Justin Fields is like an elite NFL quarterback, but I think he has shown enough that he can be an effective NFL starter if given the right opportunity. And I think that the Bears have done a poor job of building things around him for the most part. But when you run it back with this head coach and you're changing offensive coordinators and changing members on your staff, like that's going to make the biggest difference in the world when I don't think any of us think that they have a good situation going right now with their head coach and that staff anyway. Like, I think that there's a little bit of desperation. And so I don't think you can wait on that and hope that Justin Fields has a big year and then you can trade him for a first round pick instead of a second round pick or whatever. And then you've got Caleb Williams waiting in the wings and hope that he like develops like Patrick Mahomes did behind Alex Smith. Like, I just don't think that they can afford to wait for it. I don't think that they have that luxury this season.
I also don't think Caleb Williams is on board with that. Like, I think he's forcing a trade out. If you're like, you're sitting me, I'm the number one overall pick. I'm not sitting behind Justin Fields or competing for a job with him when Justin Fields is what, 10 and 28 or whatever in his 38 starts. No, that's just not happening. It's also not, it's not happening. And the Bears would be suckers to keep him. You move on, you turn the page.
I probably posited the question because what if like nobody is like a taker for Justin Fields? Like we're all Atlanta's gonna trade for him. Like what if nobody does? Like that leads to this potential possibility.
No, there's a team that'll be willing to give up something. And actually, that's also a little bit different. It's where is Justin Fields starting next year?
So that's officially
my question. Yeah, I just figured
we're at two. I just want to keep the counter going.
Yeah.
I think for the purposes of entertainment, we should each pick different answers that we seem to be, you know, we deem to be conceivable. So Steven, you can go first.
I hope it's for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a team that I've mentioned on here before. And now there is a report supposedly that they're interested in him. I didn't think that Pittsburgh like is an organization. The Steelers really feel like they're stuck in the early 2000s, like still trying to build a roster the same way, like still trying to win with defense, even though their defense hasn't come close to the level that it really was when they were winning Super Bowls that way. And I didn't think that they were going to be aggressive enough to go and do it, but there's reports out there that they are interested in it. And I think that's actually a great landing spot for him. I don't love that they hired Arthur Smith as their OC. And that, again, I don't understand why Mike Tomlin struggles so much to hire offensive coordinators, but I do think that they've got players there. Like they've got a system in place and he's got some weapons there that would be better than anything that he's had during his time in Chicago. And so I think there's a path to success there for him. I would really like to see Justin Fields land with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'll go Atlanta just because they're a really heavy favorite as well. And it makes sense. They do feel the most like quarterback-y, away-y team. I mean, just with Drake London, Kyle Pitts. I mean, conceivably, obviously, Bijan. That might be the opportunity for the most success. I do think Pittsburgh would be cool, Steven, but Atlanta just feels right in some sense. I don't know if you have a third, you know, kind of dark horse option, Brandon.
Say the Raiders. I mean, you know, Luke Getsy goes there to be their offensive coordinator, reunites with Justin Fields.
Luke's probably like, not again, man. I'm free. Yeah. Like, leave me alone.
I mean, the Raiders are, and this is going to fall apart really fast with Antonio Pierce. They've made some really bad decisions so far.
Wow. I like the Pierce hiring for them, especially after, you know, I feel like this kind of had to too after not going with, what's his name? The special teams court, Bisaccia, the last time. But yeah, I'm going to say the Raiders for Justin Fields, who, by the way, breaking news, like not too long before this podcast, Jimmy G suspended first two That's games right. of the next season, also going to obviously be cut by the Raiders. A little interested to see where, I guess, he goes next as a backup, probably. But yeah, I think I'll say the Raiders for Justin Fields. And then, you know, that way it's a competition in theory, I guess, with Aiden O'Connell too. But I think they're a team that makes sense from him in terms of they're a little bit in no man's land, and they'll probably be willing to give up the most compensation for him.
Steven, before you offer us your first question, can you also share with the listening audience how successful our same game parlay props were every season? Every week, not every season, although every season, I guess, technically works.
So I don't have the numbers of like how many we won or whatever. So totally right. successful at that. But
I think it was three.
I think it was three.
I don't know if they want me to actually like put the actual numbers.
Okay, you don't have to put the number, but but you can say just generalize it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just let them know it was, you know, rather successful.
We had a very successful season with you guys choosing to ride with us on our DraftKings same game parlays each and every week. So we're very thankful to all of you for doing it, because you put a lot of faith in us, even though you didn't have to, and we certainly didn't deserve it all the time.
And hopefully you put the biggest bets on the weeks we won and made a profit across the entire season as a whole. But hopefully you knew which ones to do the way we knew that what props to lean on every single week. Okay, Steven, your first question.
So I'm going to go back to the Kansas City Chiefs, and I do think this is a big off season for them. They've got the most free agents that they've had in a while this off season. And a few weeks ago, like, you know, when we're in the early playoff run for the Chiefs, I was like, Legarius Sneed is the guy you got to bring back. I love Chris Jones. He's going to be a Ring of Honor member for the Kansas City Chiefs one day, but he's been very open about the amount of money that he wants, and it was a big holdup in last offseason, and it really kept the Chiefs from being able to make some moves because they didn't know what they had in Chris Jones, and that all the money that was tied up in that, because, you know, he held out week one of the NFL season. But then Chris Jones goes to the Super Bowl parade and pulls a Wolf of Wall Street and says, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying in Kansas City. And this is, you know, they haven't had contract talks. Maybe a little bit, but they haven't agreed to anything yet. So before the Super Bowl, I was really like, it's bring back Legarius Sneed. As much as it sucks, you got to let Chris Jones walk and see what else you can do in free agency and the NFL draft. And after the Super Bowl, I'm like, do whatever you got to do to bring back Legarius Sneed and Chris Jones. Because, man, Chris Jones was just so dominant in the playoffs for the Chiefs, and he was such a difference maker. And I talked about the Super Bowl caliber Chiefs defense and the other free agents that they have hitting the market this season. Like, it's Mike Dana, it's Willie Gay, it's Drew Tranquil, it's Mike Edwards. Like, it's really solid depth players, but I think guys that you can get around not being on your team next year, because you have young players in George Karlaftis, who took a huge step this season. You got Charles Omenihu, who unfortunately tore his ACL, but he'll be back at some point next season. You have Felix Anudike Uzama, who was a first round pick who barely played this year because they just didn't really have a spot for him. So if you think he can take a big step, like, I think that the pieces are there in the Chiefs defensive line and on their secondary young players that they've drafted and developed, that if you bring back Sneed and you bring back Jones with the already like elite playmakers that you have on the defensive side of the ball, we could be talking about this Chiefs defense and is just as dominant next season if they find a way to bring both these guys back. So I'm at a point where it's do whatever you have to do, figure it out, make it work, get those guys back on the team, because I want like a Legion of Boom era run for the Chiefs defense though.
It is funny to me how, like, you know, that's something like what you're saying, Steven, is like what Chiefs fans, you know, are like tuned into, as opposed to, that's not like, you know, so much as the national conversation of more just Mahomes and everything and Spags, even at a higher level. But it is kind of like, it's just funny to me because it's just like, I don't want to spoil my last point, which has to do with the Chiefs. Spoiler alert. But it's funny to me, like, the in the weeds Chiefs stuff that does matter in theory. Like, it's obviously what you're tracking as a Chiefs fan throughout the offseason. But I just think it's something that is certainly obviously unique to the in-depth knowledge as opposed to the top-down stuff.
This is it feels like the Chiefs have already kind of been through the cycle the dynasties go through. Like, they've been hated, they've been annoying, they've actually had moments of like whining and complaining. Like the Tony situation this season was kind of like the peak of that. So like the last thing that they have left to do to kind of fully become the Patriots is the like, oh, of course that player took less to go play for them. You know, of course, you know, so and so wound up with them. Like, I know you're talking about the defensive side of the ball, but like, oh, of course Mike Evans is going to, you know, take a low market deal to go like chase a ring, whatever. Like, this defense is going to be fine. And I think that I anticipate Legarius Sneed and Chris Jones and everybody coming back. Cause why, how could you not? Like, where else would you rather go? I think that, you know, this is different. And we were talking about this on the radio this week, but like, I'm not trying to dog the, you know, like Metropolis of Kansas City, Steven, but I mean, I think you would agree that the last I don't know, 10 years have seen it really kind of blossom and really kind of become this big sports-centric area. And obviously a big part of that is Mahomes and the influx of money and attention and whatever. And like, it is becoming like a thing. Like it's like happening in a way that like Boston was already like this rabid sports town before the Patriots dynasty is my point. Like, I don't know if this point I'm tracking makes sense, but like it's becoming a hotbed of activity in a very, very unique way to where like, of course, people are going to want to be there and going to want to stay and going to want to be a part of the ride.
Yeah, Kansas City has World Cup games coming in a few years. Matches. They wouldn't matches. Have got that a few They're years.
They're matches, Steven.
Matches, whatever. Yeah, Kansas City was not going to get World Cup matches a few years ago, and the World Cup's going to be in Kansas City here in a few years.
I mean, that's the point. So you're really worried about, like, L'Jarius Sneed leaving? You know, you got the World Cup. You're going to have L'Jarius Sneed, you know?
All right.
The expression is often you can have your cup and you'll L'Jarius Sneed too. Okay.
Question number four.
Mine is, what team, because I've thought about this from a Cowboys perspective, and I'm not saying that they're the answer, but what team can Derrick Henry join and become
what the hell
and become like or continue to be Derrick Henry? He's the clear exception, right? Like when it comes to running backs and like not necessarily slowing down or anything like that, the way we've seen it happen with other players, et cetera, et cetera. So like, what is the home that Derrick Henry finds to where he is like the same guy and he helps them become even greater and like it where it actually works the way, you know, these vintage, you know, deals used to before running backs didn't matter?
This is very concerning to me how similar our questions are so far. Mine was a bigger one. It was, you know, we talk QB carousel every
you're not gonna answer it. Interesting. You're just gonna completely hijack the question.
No, I'm gonna get this is touches on it. It's just Steven, a bigger scope.
I need a ruling from Steven if this is fair or not, because I didn't even get an answer to my question.
I'm going to get into it.
Yeah.
Setting up my portion of it too.
Steven.
Which is, again, we talk about QB carousel. This is RB carousel because it feels like to me, maybe I'm overthinking it or not right about this, but it feels to me like between Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs and Tony Pollard and Saquon Barkley and Austin Eckler and DeAndre Swift. And I forgot that J.K. Dobbins, who's, you know, been hurt a lot, but is averaging 5.8 yards per carry when he's been healthy, like really good. He's a free agent too. So, and all of those players for the most part, and this sounds obvious, but like you associate them, especially except with the exception of DeAndre Swift, like you associate them so much with that team they've played for. It's going to be like weird seeing those players potentially, maybe all, it's conceivable that all of those players could be playing for another team next year and none of them return to their current team. So that's really interesting to me. To answer your question, RJ, does Derek...
Let me remake the question to kind of merge these two together. First of all, I think it's hilarious that you liken DeAndre Swift to all these players and the success that they've had, but whatever.
DeAndre Swift was fifth in rushing last year?
Like,
he had a really good year
last year.
Okay, so
he was great for nine games before Nick Sirianni decided he hated him. Anyway, so like, who are the teams that stand the most to legitimately gain from getting a piece of the running back carousel? Whether that and like the top of the carousel, so to speak, whether that's Derrick Henry, Saquon, Austin Eckler, like define it however you like with whichever player. Like, you know, if the, you know, I don't know if the like Colts signed one of these players, I don't think any of that's a bad example, but you get my point. Like none of us are like really moved by that. I have one answer to my own question. Maybe I should just give it. Imagine Derrick Henry on the Texans. Would that not be like the most fun thing of all time?
I think that's a good spot for him. I think the Ravens would be a good spot for him. And I also think the Chargers low key would be interesting with Harbaugh and like, think back to like what he did with Frank Gore. Like I feel like he would love to get a guy like Derrick Henry in there and just give him the ball 25 times a game.
I like the Texans one because then the Texans should have the Oilers throwback, but don't, right? The Titans wear it.
This isn't that complicated. That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking in my mind that, never mind. All right. Anyway, I like the Chargers one a lot. And I think one of my questions was going to be Harbaugh. I did not have that on here, but I'm interested to see like, how does Harbaugh make his imprint? Like, and is this the move? Would that be like the signature move? It's like, okay, this is what really, now I should mention here, I was looking at the cap situations for all the teams and the Chargers are one of the like I don't know 6, 7, 8 teams that are way over the cap, so they have a bit of work to do. I don't know if they can offer Derrick Henry the most money, but I also don't know what kind of money these guys are going to get. You know, we've been talking about for years running backs don't matter, whatever. Interested, and because there are so many big names on the market, that doesn't seem to really help their case. But if there's going to be an exception, it could be Derrick Henry.
So then I guess we technically got your question in too, so that's 5 questions through. Right?
Yep.
Okay, Steven, number 6. Is it Chiefs related?
No, but it kind of like what BLG just mentioned. It's kind of I want to see if the veteran wide receiver market settles down. Because this is kind of one of those weird off seasons where there's a lot of veteran wide receivers that could potentially be available this off season once free agency opens. But it's, if you follow any draft expert, they're like, this is like the deepest wide receiver class that we've ever seen. And so I think that we really saw these wide receiver contracts balloon in the last couple of years. And there's inevitably going to be an off season where I think when that happened, like, there was a lot of like, what are the Jags doing with Christian Kirk? Like, there's a lot of these guys that you're like, that guy doesn't deserve $18 million a year, $20 million a year or whatever. And I have to imagine that that's going to come back down to earth at some point. And so like guys, like, I don't think Michael Pittman's necessarily going anywhere, but like Mike Evans, see what happens with him at his age. I know he was still incredible last season. Like Calvin Ridley is, somehow this is his first free agent period of his career, but he's like 29 years old. Like, I just don't think that the veteran market is going to be as high as it is usually anticipated because the draft class is so deep this year.
So CD Lamb, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, all eligible for new deals. They're obviously not who you're talking about, right? You're talking about some of the guys who ultimately move. I think that to your point, like maybe T. Higgins isn't getting like a bag, Brandon. You know what I mean? Like maybe he's the victim of all of this just because of the circumstances. Not that he's not worth it, but because it's, you know, there's such a surplus of wide receivers both in the draft. And even if you don't wind up with T. Higgins, maybe you do wind up with, you know, Mike Evans and you feel like it's totally worth it.
Mm. I think Evans stays in Tampa, but I mean, awesome player to be able to sign, just the consistency. Yeah, I think. It does seem like Higgins can't be back in Cincy, right? Like, just that's not how they operate in terms of paying players, especially to beat the market. And he's arguably, if he's not like the top free agent, you know, because you can talk about, you know, what Kirk and everything, and we'll see if he gets to the market. But he's going to be one of the very best players, I think, on the market. So I'm pretty interested to see where Higgins goes.
And like the Ravens, like way overpaid Odell Beckham last year. Like, I don't think know if that kind of stuff is going to happen this offseason.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, we have six questions left. There are three of us, so we each have to go at least one more time. And one of us has to go to. That was number six.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that we've done the best job at counting. I have one more, but
you
I can get to
six
two.
Left. And you said, no, we said have, that
I'm
was
sorry,
number
we're,
six.
We're, yeah, we're. I'm sorry. We're through six. We have four left. That means at least one each. But somebody gets two. So Brandon, you can go, and then Steve and I will go, and then you'll have your last one, your precious last one.
You want me to go now?
Yeah, but this is not your last one. So
yeah, don't mess up. It's my penultimate question, if you will, not the penultimate, but my penultimate. How will the Eagles shape their defense to Vic Fangio's mold? Because the last time the Eagles had this veteran defensive coordinator who came in, it was Jim Schwartz back in, was that 2016 now? And the Eagles made a bunch of moves in free agency that were like kind of, oh, we're going to sign Nigel Bradham. We're going to bring in Leotis McKelvin. They brought like a lot of guys from the Buffalo defense that Jim Schwartz had to him, to Philly, and like it was clear that like they gave Jim Schwartz a certain level of control over personnel, and that was also reported as well. Not that Howie Roseman isn't ultimately pulling the strings, but he's certainly acquiescing to what the defensive coordinator wants. So kind of interested to see what that looks like for the Eagles here. Like, does Justin Simmons get traded from the Broncos? He's on the last year of his deal, and the Broncos can clear a lot of cap space if they either cut him or trade him, which I think the latter, I guess, would make more sense. But it's not even about making the Eagles defense into what the Chiefs just had or this elite unit. It's about bringing them back to some level of respectability after being such a disaster last year and going through the Matt Patricia experience. So I guess I'm just intrigued to see, because offensively it's not about, they're really going to, they're going to have the same players for the most part. Maybe they had a third wide receiver, but it's more about the coaching on that side of the ball. On the defensive side of the ball, it's about everything. It's about new coaching and also new personnel on that side of the defense. They have a decision to make potentially with James Bradbury and what they're going to do with him. So they need linebackers. There's a lot of things, I think, there's a lot of directions that Eagles could go on defense, both in the draft and free agency and everything. So I'm interested to see how their personnel, and also I'll throw this in there, Hassan Reddick, potential of him getting traded. So it could be a really new look defense for them next year.
Steven.
That's all I've got.
I feel like you're the person most equipped to handle this question, by the way. So it's interesting that you're asking it to us. But Steven,
I didn't ask anything. I just, that's my question in general.
It is curious, like the Hassan Reddick stuff and like the Eagles secondary obviously was not good this season. And it's like Darius Slay is like, is that the only guy that you really want to have back? And do you even want to have him back because he didn't have the greatest season? Like the Eagles really bet on that secondary playing it the same or up to the level that they did the season before. And it just didn't happen. And the linebackers, obviously, like, you know, you spent a reasonably high draft pick on a player like N'Kobe Dean, and he just hasn't played at all, really. Like, you don't even have any idea what you have in him at the linebacker spot. So, I mean, they've got a lot of questions, and they've got to figure a lot of things out.
Yeah, I do anticipate an active offseason on the defensive side of the ball. Whoever that winds up being, like, maybe there are a handful of new corners that come in. Maybe they do just, you know, move on or try to move on. I mean, obviously that's Howie's expertise, but like, I would not be shocked if there's four or five new defensive starters on the Eagles next season. I mean, I don't know if you think that is too high of a mark, Brandon, but like, I mean, like they have to do something. I mean, they're the type of team that when they have to do something does do something. It might fail, but you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to sit and just like completely run this back and expect it to be different just because.
Yeah. And do we get like that one move that's like the Howie Roseman move? And that doesn't mean it's actually like good or not, but it's like, oh, Howie season.
Of course, Howie. Yeah. Right. Why do you pick up the phone when Howie calls?
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess you can lump that in there too.
Steven, do you want to go next? Me? These are our last questions.
Sure. For me, it's really kind of about the AFC as a whole. My final question is just like, what do you do to compete with the Chiefs? Because I think the AFC is going to look pretty different next year. And there's so many question marks. Like, I think right now, just kind of looking at the overall standings, like, I feel like the only team in the AFC that I am extremely confident will be right back in the mix next season is the Baltimore Ravens. Like, the Bengals defense took a huge step back this year. They got to figure things out with T. Higgins, and they've got to address that defense, and they got to end. And their offensive line still not particularly good. And Joe Burrow's coming off of a significant injury. Buffalo has got a bunch of questions to answer this offseason because their cap situation is not particularly great because they went all in for this kind of 3-year window and didn't win anything with it. The Dolphins did the same thing last season. And like, Houston's in a really good spot. But then Jacksonville, who was supposed to be a contender, like, kind of fell on their faces this season. And I don't think Jacksonville right now, like, obviously the NFL draft can change things, free agency, whatever. But as of right now, like, going into next season, I'm not confident that Jacksonville is going to be as good as they were this year. And this year wasn't good enough. Like, I just feel like there's tons of question marks across the AFC about every team except for the Chiefs and except for the Ravens.
I think that's really fair. My money would be the AFC team I have the most confidence in, acknowledging that the Chiefs exist in their own universe, is probably the Bengals, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm willing to, it is a bit of a benefit of the doubt, but I'm willing to extend it to them. And that's why, like, even to your point, Brandon, about T. Higgins and how they don't like pay players, like, they've really changed that. Like they've literally changed their franchise's whole culture since landing Joe Burrow. And I'm not saying that necessarily means that T. Higgins is coming back, but I'm willing to wait and see. I feel like we've seen enough from this iteration of Buffalo and this iteration of Baltimore to know, like, yeah, I mean, you guys just had the best shots that you will ever have against Kansas City, and you couldn't get it done. And maybe, you know, maybe you just have like your supernova game once, you know, you find yourself opposite of them again in the playoffs. But until that happens and until you do it, nobody's going to believe that you have it in you. And I don't know how we can expect Jacksonville to do that. Maybe Houston, maybe CJ Stroud does like take the next step to where he can go shot for shot with Mahomes or whatever the case ultimately winds up being, go shot for shot against Spags. But right now there's literally one quarterback in the NFL who's had success against Mahomes on a consistent basis. And you know, kind of, again, in a head-to-head sort of way, and it's Joe Burrow. And it's a small amount of success, but it's more than zero, which is everybody else's. So I'm inclined to trust that the Bengals have the best chance of doing it, even though I'm not confident in it as a whole.
I totally agree. I mean, it's proof of concept is what, like, you're talking about. Like, you can, if you're a Bengals fan, you can be like, yeah, we can. It's possible. We can do it. If you're a Ravens fan, you can't feel that way. You can't possibly feel that way. No chance. And basically any other team too. And I'll get on that more in my last point. But we should get to your last question, RJ.
Well, just let it be known, Steven, that I gave your question love, care, and respect. Brandon was like, oh, anyway, let's move on to yours, RJ.
No, I'm going to get to it.
So my last question is, and it's a weird one, but what is going to be the most, the thing that like most like, that generates the most, like, oh, duh, like we knew that. And as an example, I would offer this past season was Russell Wilson being awful. Like, as that happened, we were like, oh, yeah, like we knew this. Like, the most why, and maybe you could say that the, you know, Aaron Rodgers being, you know, a like headline nightmare for the Jets, but like that feels like it's in its own special duh box. But what is the most like hiding in plain sight thing that will become this big deal that we'll all be like, yeah, this was really obvious. I have an answer, but I'll let you both.
This is like your what's his name, Urban Meyer kind of thing, right? Or it's like the one thing that like everyone's just like, yeah, we all agree this is dumb or bad, or like just the
one thing the internet thing agrees on and that the internet will ultimately be right on.
Oh man.
If you want, I can go and answer it and buy you both some time, because I know it's weird.
That's fine.
I think it's going to be the Steelers disappointing and Mike Tomlin not necessarily, to your point, Steven, them kind of living in the early 2000s, like Mike Tomlin not evolving. We're going to, like, the offense is going to be awful even if they do trade for Justin Fields, and we're going to be like, well, yeah, I mean, you thought Arthur Smith was the answer. Like, we all knew this was a really bad idea. Like, this predictably went poorly.
How is this an off-season question?
Because it's relative to something that's going to, like, you know, exist or process over the course of the offseason. I thought, when I thought of the question, I thought, Brandon, you were going to say some team's going to talk themselves into Kirk Cousins being the answer, and it's not going to work. But you can't say that now. So
I'm trying to think, like, what's, like, the most predictable offseason move that isn't literally, like, you know, like Caleb Williams going at one or something. I'm trying to think, like, what's just so, like, obviously going to happen. I mean, I think the Vikings are going to keep Kirk. I don't think he's going anywhere, to answer that part of it. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to say the Vikings run it back with Kirk. It's like, well, actually, you know, it's going to actually work this time. No, trust me, he's great. It's going to be good. And then they're going to not do anything other than maybe win a playoff game at the very most, and then nothing else. And then it'll be very par for the course for them.
Okay, Steven, can you actually do some work and answer the question, please?
Unlike so, well, I kind of have two. First, I feel like Aaron Rodgers and the Jets is going to totally fail, and I'm excited about it. But second, I feel like the Dolphins are going to give Tua an extension, and they are that's going to. I think we've seen enough from Tua at this point. Like, yes, he's a functional NFL starter, but he's got serious limitations in a way that, you know, other top quarterbacks in the AFC don't. But because of how you have to pay quarterbacks to keep them, I feel like Miami is just in a tough spot right now where they don't really have an answer. So they're probably just going to give Tua a contract, and they're going to regret it down the line.
I would add, like, there's going to be like a moment, like a early October game where he goes off, and people are going to be like, this is why the Dolphins paid Tua. And then it's just going to all unravel from there. Yeah. So, okay. So, Steven, just before we get into this, can you verify, we need a witness besides me, that Brandon was like, I want to go last. My question deserves to go last.
Because it's the best makes one, sense.
Et cetera, et cetera. That really happened, right, Steven? For when this question flops. Yeah.
I didn't say it was the best one. I just think it makes sense to say it now, because it's like, does any of this matter? Does any of these other questions matter? Does anything in the NFL matter? It kind of touched on this, Steven's last one.
Is that the question?
Then just like the, because it's like, aren't the Chiefs just gonna, aren't they actually just gonna win it all again next year? We're talking about a quarterback here who has lost what, three times in the playoffs since the 2018 season. Two of those were to Tom Brady, one of them was in overtime. The other loss was an overtime to Joe Burrow, who has been like pretty incredible in the playoffs, or at least really good so far. So, like, does any of this actually matter? Like, people are going to be like, oh, we have to take this player in the first round. There's going to be like intense debate about who the Eagles should take at number 22 overall, or if the Cowboys should sign Derrick Henry, or like, and it's just like, or where T. Higgins land. Does any of this matter? Does any of it at all actually matter at all? I don't think it does. I think the Chiefs are going to three-peat. And it's just like, we're all just kind of wasting our time acting like all this stuff matters, changing deck chairs on the Titanic. It's just, it kind of feels futile.
Just to add to his point, Steven, of the only non-overtime playoff loss that Mahomes has had was the Super Bowl, obviously, to the Buccaneers. and it led to the front office like aggressively attacking the reason why they lost that game. So like
it was also COVID year, so like kind of weirdness.
Tom Brady. but my point is simply like they don't let like it's the Mahomes of it all is obviously the biggest and foremost thing. But like the Chiefs are so well run and so well equipped that like they can lose a game in regulation in the playoffs and say that's not good enough. Like we're gonna exhaust ourselves and exhaust our resources to make sure that this problem never happens again, which is why beyond Mahomes, which is its own massive thing, they deserve all benefit of the doubt. They deserve all trust. They deserve every single thing, Steven.
And then coming off, well, just again, coming off the year too that they did, like you talked about earlier, Steven, like this was not a good year for them even. And they had to play every playoff game on the road until the Super Bowl. Like
the first was really cool.
Oh, well, sorry. Remember? Well, okay. They had to play multiple playoff games on the road, which they had never done before. Like the point being, if they were not going to win a year, it felt like this year. I mean, even in the Super Bowl themselves, I'm hating this as someone who watched the Chiefs be incredibly sharp and crisp last year. And to their credit, you know, they took advantage of an Eagles defense that certainly was not great in the Super Bowl. But also, it wasn't even just like the 49ers were amazing entirely, which they did play well at shutting down the Chiefs offense. The Chiefs offense was doing stupid stuff on their own. They like fumbled a billion times. Point being, like the Chiefs did not play near their A game, and they won a champion, their second straight championship anyway.
I think it still matters because we never know how seasons are going to unfold. And like the Super Bowl, they lost to Tampa Bay. Like if Eric Fisher doesn't go down in the AFC championship game, like right. I still think the Chiefs could have won that game. And somebody recently like made the point that, you know, even with the offensive line that they were rolling into that Super Bowl with, the fact that anybody thought the Chiefs could still win that game at all just speaks to Patrick Mahomes and like the confidence that we have in him, because literally any other team with that offensive line going into that Super Bowl against Tom Brady, everybody would have been like, no chance. No chance is that team going to beat Tom Brady. And everybody still thought the Chiefs had a chance. And so I think like barring injuries and whatever weird right. stuff happens in the NFL, like you hope for some breaks. And right now the Chiefs have the biggest difference maker and it seems like they catch the breaks, but really it's because I think their coaching staff is tremendous and it's because Patrick Mahomes is the biggest deciding factor in all of this.
Eric Fisher was the number one overall pick in 2013. Is that correct?
Yep.
I mean,
it was imagine him, Jokel, and then what's his name? Deion Jordan, and then Lane Johnson.
Imagine if, you know, someone had said like that night, oh, like 11 years from now, the Chiefs are going to have won three Super Bowls. You'd be like, man, Eric Fish, like what a great use of a number one overall pick. Like it's just amazing that like a decade later, the like only number one overall pick wasn't even like a real factor in that entire run, which is just, and to your point, Steven, that's why, you know, everything does matter because you have no idea how quickly anything can change in the NFL.
Exactly.
It does. And especially too, because, you know, again, 49ers, very like they could have won that game. It was very close. It came down to the wire. So it's not like the Chiefs are smoking everyone 50-0 and they have no chance. But it feels that way for some reason. It just feels the inevitability of Mahomes was especially, I think, apparent in the playoffs. And that's why I think we were all confident in taking them, especially after they beat Baltimore.
Steven, this has been a very Chiefs-centric episode, so I think you actually should ask the last question, and it should not be football related. It should be any non-football question that you want.
You're really putting me on the spot here.
Any question in the entire world.
Any question. What are you guys going to eat for dinner?
What are you going to
eat? I would really love to eat some Chipotle. I'm just like, wow. Like if you were like, you can do anything in life right now. You can, like, I will transport you anywhere.
In life?
Yeah. If you were like, you have three wishes. If y'all were magic genies, one of them would be Chipotle.
What? I'm like, That's an insane wish.
I'm like that, you know, that hearkening.
You could cure world hunger and you're like, nope.
I have two other wishes. You know what I mean? Like I have two other wishes. So, you know, okay. And one of them would be for three more wishes. So, I mean, you know,
I can't do that. That's obviously against the rules.
I like Chipotle, but I wouldn't.
Wow.
I wouldn't waste a wish from a genius.
That is crazy.
Well, I filibustered long enough to give you time to come up with an answer, Brandon. So what is
it? I honestly don't know yet because my plans are up in the air a little bit tonight specifically. So kind of trying to figure that out. I suspect and hope that pizza is in my future.
Well, I think I'm going to make pot roasts. We'll see.
Nice. Oh, dude. Well, you better get on that. Like, you don't have a lot of time. You know.
Yeah, I might wait till tomorrow. That's why I'm not totally sure. That might be tomorrow's dinner. It just kind of depends on when I my day up.
You go on crock pot?
Uh-oh.
No, I don't have a crock pot. I usually just like slow simmer it on the stove.
It's a little Monday Football Monday tie-in there with the crock pot. Anyway,
wow.
TGIF.